When I was away for a study break, preparing for this year, this last week, and I'd been praying all about that figure that Bruce was talking about, and we've been praying for, and I continued to pray because I knew that there were some last-minute things that people usually did at the end of the year. When I got back, I heard it last night. It was just overwhelming. And when I realized that Faith Promise was fully covered, the general fund fully covered, the capital campaign moving away, when Bruce shared that last night, I could, in my mind's eye, hear Tom Cheeley dancing in heaven. I know that's probably true because in my ear, I could hear Matt Moore popping Diet Mountain Dews and dancing in the office as well. So anyway, by the way, I was reading the other day about a fellow who came in. He had been away to some seminar, and he came back and he said to his wife, he said, "Honey, we're going to change the way we do things here. When I come home at night, I want you to meet me at the door with a kiss. I want you to then have my bathrobe and my sitting clothes, and I want you to have the television on, and I want you to have my slippers available. Within 45 minutes, we'll have supper. It'll be a warm supper every night. And by the way, biscuits, homemade, every night as well. At the end of that, we'll retire to the room, and I'm going to watch television while you finish up the house cleaning. And then we'll head to bed. And by the way, guess who's going to brush and comb my hair?" She said, "Oh, that's easy. It'll be your funeral director." That has absolutely nothing to do with what I want to say. I just heard it, and it was so good, I wanted to share it with you. I'm not actually recommending that you go home and share that, by the way. Okay, my responsibility is to walk us through and introduce the ministry theme for this year. One of the great things about God's Word, of course, is and I'm looking forward to studying the Word of God and understanding of this truth, the supremacy and sufficiency of the Word this year. But one of the great things about the privilege that I have to get into God's Word and preach and teach it and work through it continually is just to be amazed. I'm holding a document that was put together over 1,600 years with 40-plus human authors. And this amazing consistency, its richness, on the one hand, God's Word is so gloriously put together that a baby Christian can splash around in the water of the Word. On the other hand, spiritual giants can't plumb the depths of it. I mean, it's just absolutely astounding. Well, one of the things, of course, is to see its consistency as it is put together. And as God guides His Old Covenant people, He guides them through three offices of prophet, priest, and king. And the prophet, of course, they speak forth God's Word and through which God is giving His Word. The priest is a teacher of the Word and an intercessor and one who cares for the ongoing work of the people and is God's messenger to them and their messenger back to God and is constantly in intercession. In fact, tomorrow morning we'll be looking at what's called the high priestly prayer of Christ as He intercedes for His people in John 17. Then, of course, there's the office of king. And that office of king is gloriously depicted in the Scripture as a distinct manner of ministry among God's people. The shepherd king was so wonderfully affirmed. Well, you got one person in the Old Testament that kind of reflects all three of those, Moses. But by and large, they come to us with each an outstanding character in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the office of prophet stands supremely in Moses and Elijah. The office of priest stands supremely with Aaron, and then a priest greater than Aaron, Melchizedek. And then the office of king stands before us with David.
Well, those are the three offices that are all there, not only to guide God's people, but to begin to prepare them for the Messiah, who would be the anointed one, the Christ, who would come as the prophet, priest, and the king. So we no longer have prophets, priest, and king. We have Christ, who is the prophet. He has spoken God's word to us. He is the priest. He ever intercedes for us. He not only brought the sacrifice, he was the sacrifice. And he prays for his people. And thirdly, we have the great shepherd king, and that is the son of David, who is greater than David. Christ is the fulfillment of. Then the Bible tells us, because you are in Christ, now we are all prophets. There will you need to teach each man and his neighbor, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. And we can all speak forth God's word to one another and to this world. And we're all priests. In fact, the Bible says we're a royal nation of priests. Each person, you have to go through somebody to get to Jesus. You don't have to go through somebody to get to Jesus. You can go directly to Christ, and you can go to him who intercedes for you. And then thirdly, we're all kings. So we're all prophets, we're all priests, and we're all kings. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're a royal nation of priests. We're king priests. So that's what we are. But God has not, I don't think that God has taken those three offices and dismissed them. Even though they are fulfilled in Christ and we participate, all of us as believers, no matter who you are, I do believe he properly and gloriously and wonderfully continues to reflect those in the New Testament. So the office of prophet is reflected with the teaching elder, the minister of the word. The office of priest is reflected through the office of deacon, those who intercede on behalf of God's people and care for them. And are aware of their needs and create the environment for their security in the Lord. And then thirdly are the kings, and that is the ruling elders who shepherd the people of Israel. They give direction and they oversee God's people. So gathered here are pastors and ministers of the word, teaching elders, that we are to speak forth God's word faithfully. We're not the only ones, but we are called of God to lead the way in that matter. And then priests are interceding for God's people, and the ruling elders are watching over and shepherding and giving guidance and direction to God's people. So where is it that we go? Well, we have a mission statement at Briarwood, and that mission statement for us that declares our purpose is this. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians who worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. If I can give you just a little bit of historical dynamic. When I came in 1999, this basically was already in place. Now, we did just a little bit of wordsmithing. Because it basically used to say, for God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians. Briarwood is committed to worshiping God by equipping Christians who reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. And our little bit of wordsmithing was to point out that, well, we not only worship the Lord and are equipping to reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ, but we also need to be equipped to worship. That we want to worship, but we have to be taught how to worship rightly. So we just did a little bit of wordsmithing. So it now says Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians who worship God and reach Birmingham to reach the world for Christ. And it is a mission statement that, honestly, if you go to most any other evangelical church there that's faithfully committed to God's word, they're going to have a very similar mission statement because they, like us, are going from the same. That is a distillation of four passages of Scripture. Acts 1, 4 through 8, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, Colossians 1, 18, and of course, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, the Great Commission. So it's just a distillation of that. In other words, we don't come up with our mission. God gives us our mission. Now, what we can is wordsmith it so that it's understandable for God's people. But a mission declares what we do. It says who we are, Briarwood. It says what we do, we worship God and reach people. It says where we do this, from Birmingham to reach the world. Every decision we make is always. In fact, can I give you just one example of this? Our board-directed ministries, and we'll go through the whole list because I always leave one out and then I get an email. So our board-directed ministries, I just covered all of them. One of the things I loved when I got here about those was how from the very beginning, starting with the campus outreach, which was kind of the first one out of the chute, it was always put together to give away. Now, I was the beneficiary of that because when I was in Charlotte and planted the church in Charlotte and we got to the size that we could begin to consider a campus ministry, we said, let's do campus outreach. So I remember coming down here. I think I sat next to Doug Haskew out in the 1990s when we were going to take campus outreach and put it in Charlotte at Christ Covenant. And I remember kept saying, okay, well, who does our guy report to? They said, well, your board. Yeah, but who does our board report to? I mean, how do we report back here to Briarwood? He said, we don't report to Briarwood. He said, well, how do we control this? Well, you control it by the DNA of how you equip the leadership and what you confess and what you're holding to. But we don't create, we actually created this at Briarwood to give it away to churches like yours. And that's followed whether it's YBL or Christian Medical Ministry or all of them. It's put together to give away. In other words, what was done to reach Birmingham was done in such a way that it could also impact the world if God would allow us. So we're constantly trying to make those decisions through you. You're giving us that kind of leadership on all of these various committees. So that's what we do. We worship God to reach Birmingham. We worship God and reach people, Birmingham, to the world. Why do we do this? We do it for God's glory, not for our own. So that mission statement guides every decision that we will be making, God willing, this coming year with wisdom from above. Now, that means when you do the mission, what do you want to be when you do the mission? That's what we call our vision. So our vision statement is, for coming generations, Briarwood desires to be a Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-filled, equipping center where every member is a minister and every member is a missionary. So that's our vision. Not only do we want to make decisions that reach the world, we want to make decisions that reach coming generations of new Christians, new pastors, new missionaries, new officers like you, all of those things. Those things have to be in place for us. So I want to encourage you to remember that that's what's guiding us. Basically, if you ask me, Harry, what would be the key text in the Bible where Jesus says, this is my mission for the church? Well, it would be the Great Commission and the other passages. If you were to ask me, Pastor, what do you think Jesus' vision is for his church on mission? Well, that's easy. That's tomorrow's sermon. That's John 17. That's Jesus' last will and testament. Go read that, what he prays for his church, and you can see his vision. And so I'm going to rein myself in and not give a brief preview of tomorrow, but just read John 17 and you will find that our vision statement flows right out of John 17, that high priestly prayer. This is what Jesus desires for his church. And so that vision states what we desire to be. So now to accomplish that, we go to the Bible for our strategy. Now, what is our strategy? For coming generations, Briarwood will prayerfully seek to implement the biblical strategy of gospel evangelism and discipleship, gospel church planting and revitalization, gospel deeds of love, mercy, and justice, and gospel leaders developed and deployed or multiplied and mobilized. So, and this just simply comes from when I first came, we went our way through the book of Acts for about 3 years. And as we walked our way through it, we noticed that every time that Paul went to a city, the first thing he did was evangelism and discipleship. The next thing he did was plant a church. The next thing he did was he would respond to the needs that were there, including the mercy needs of a place that where he was ministering. And the fourth thing that he would do is he would always either develop leaders or he would leave part of his leadership team behind because a church can't go beyond its leadership. So those are the four things. And then the second missionary journey, when he went back, he did the same thing he did on the first missionary journey, except he added one more thing, and that is he added strengthening the churches that they had planted, church revitalization. So those are the, so when we take that sacrificial giving and guide our people into ministry, this is the biblical strategy. I'm so grateful that the Bible not only gives us the mission, the Bible gives us the vision for our location and our generation and the generations to come. The Bible also gives us the strategy whereby Paul turned the world upside down through the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the gospel. This is the way he did it. So we're not exotic here. We're not innovative. We're just going to try to do what he did and land in our generation to affect coming generations all the way to all the tribes that make up this world. Now, if I could highlight one thing, though. For us, beyond Briarwood, to get evangelism, discipleship, mercy, and leadership development done, for us to do that, I believe of those four bullet points, the place we need to focus is church planting and church revitalization. I believe that we need to plant churches, particularly in urban centers. We need to plant churches that can plant churches. In other words, we need to do what you did in 1983 when you took $25,000 a year, paid my salary, and sent me to Charlotte. The vision that was in that room, by the way, can I tell you all that story? I don't know how many of you have heard this, but I came over here. They brought me, I was in Miami, and they brought me over here, and Terry Geiger, Mission of North America, Bruce, I got 915? Nope. 910. And so they brought me over here, and so I was here, where Briarwood's national missions team was going to pray about this sending somebody over to Charlotte, because we didn't have a PCA church in Charlotte. That was the only presbytery in the Southern Presbyterian Church that did not lose a single church to the PCA. It was so liberal. Presbyterianism was so liberal there, ensconced in what had happened through Queens College and Davidson College in that presbytery. So they had asked me, would I consider going there? And then they asked Briarwood, would you consider sending him there? So they brought me over here, and I sat down at a table at a restaurant over here somewhere called the Copper Kettle. I remember that. And in there was about six small group Bible studies going on. And I'm sitting there, and we had a little Bible study time together, this National Missions Committee, and Frank's sitting there. And we finished it up, and Terry Geiger made the pitch. We want to send Harry. This is what's happened in Miami. We want to send him there to plant a church that will plant a presbytery, because we don't have any churches. We don't only want to plant one. We want to plant one that will plant a presbytery. That's what we need to do. And so they're all sitting there. Now, you've got to understand, our big legacy has always been world missions. And even on the National Missions Committee, there were surreptitious agents from the World Missions Committee who said, you know, $75,000 over 3 years to plant a church in Charlotte? There's all kinds of churches. I know there's not a PCA church. There's all kinds of churches in Charlotte. What could $75,000 do on the mission field? And I could just see the whole thing disappearing right there at the Copper Kettle with the cold coffee that was now served to us. And so I'll never forget, Frank, you know, spoke up and said, that's a pretty good idea. $75,000 mission field. Harry, if you plant this church and we give you $75,000, are y'all going to send out missionaries? I said, yes, sir. He said, y'all going to do faith promise giving? I said, yes, sir. He said, are y'all going to try to plant churches all over the world? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, sounds like to me $75,000 would be a good investment for the mission field to plant that church. And so we then took a vote, and it was unanimous. I got sent. Now, the result was Christ Covenant, which the Lord allowed to grow to about 3,000, and we planted the presbytery. We planted this. And M&A and MTW came in to do a study of that 12 years later. And because of that $75,000, there were now 88 members of Christ Covenant on the mission field, and over $12 million had gone to the mission field in those years because of that investment in church planting. It's not me. That's not that. I just happened to be the guy that went there. And so now we get local churches that send out. So the best thing that we can do is not simply send a team to Ireland, like they'll do mission, they'll do evangelism for a week. We can do that. We ought to do that. But if we can help with church planting and church revitalization, they're there 52 weeks out of the year. We have to come home at the end of the week. So that's why we focus on church planting and church revitalization, just like Paul did. So now that's the strategy. To move forward in our mission, our vision, and our strategy, to move forward every year, what what we attempt to do is we attempt to take a ministry theme. Again, let me confess, so everybody's in context. When I first came, I would sit down and talk with Mr. Harris, and at that time, Curtis, and we would, Curtis Tanner, we would sit and talk about the ministry focus for the next year. And in 1999, we had 10. Well, we got 10 got lost, so we then went to 5. And we tried 5 for 2 years. And then by the fourth year, we were down to 3. And then we got Bruce as executive pastor and said, you know, we just got to get to 1. That's about all he can handle is 1. So, no, seriously, let me tell you what happened. Here's what we realized. The larger the church, the more focused and simple you need to be. So we just decided, let's take 1 each year and try to approach it so all the way from the worship service down to the small groups, we take that ministry theme and try to embed it as a thread woven into the life and ministry of the church. Now, here is the list of what we have done over the years. Intercessory prayer, small group discipleship, each one reach one, transformed by truth, how then shall we live, follow me, discipleship for coming generations. We had a couple of years there, the year of Jubilee and our celebration, the focus on prayer and the word, the evangelism I share, 2012, 2013 was worship God. This last year was contending and defending the faith. This year, we're going to 2015, thy word is truth. Our key verse is John 17:17. Thy word is truth. And I'll be doing the launch sermon tomorrow morning from John 17, verse 17, where Jesus gives us this statement. What are some of the things we want to do? Well, one of the things we want to do is hand this theme off to the various ministry teams populated by not only our staff, but our elders, our deacons, and lay men and women in this church, from missions to small group discipleship to evangelism. All of the ministry teams, we want to download this, and then how can this be threaded and embedded and woven into the life and ministry of Briarwood from top to bottom, from side to side, from height to depth, to length to breadth. How can we weave it in? Got some ideas, like perhaps a Nehemiah day on a Sunday. You know what happened in the Nehemiah day? God's people got together around God's word, hearing it read, sung, and preached, and prayed for 6 hours. What would a Nehemiah day look like that perhaps came to a conclusion with the Lord's Supper as God's people just took the time to bathe in God's word? What would it look like for us to, what is one of the greatest passages in the scripture on the word of God? Just throw some out for me. Okay, 119. Psalm 119, what would happen if we gave attention over a period of time to the riches of what God said, the longest psalm in your Bible, the longest quote chapter, although psalms aren't chapters, the longest in your Bible, right in the middle of your Bible, the very passage I'm quoting tomorrow, I'm preaching on tomorrow, John 17:17, Jesus is actually quoting from Psalm 119, verse 61, 161. So what is it? We're try to find ways to work our way through that. Worship services, congregational communities, small groups, ministry initiatives. Our missions theme will pick up on this, both our national missions and our world missions. So we want to embed it continually throughout. But can I just stop here? It won't get throughout our congregation if it doesn't get to you. Because y'all are the leaders. We're going to go the way our leaders go. If you embrace this theme, and if you find creative ways to introduce it from your family into your congregational community, through whatever committee or team that you're on, through the session, through the diaconate, through the various ways, if we can not only embrace what and support one another, but come up with those things, then I think that's how it gets multiplied into the life of our congregation. Each one reach one. When we're sharing the gospel, it's contagious for God's people to share the gospel. If we're excited about God's word, then that is something that God's people get excited about as well. And I believe this is crucial. I think we're at a crucial point in our nation. And I do not believe our problem in the church is that we don't have exotic, ingenious methods to reach the community. I think we've lost biblical literacy, and I think we've lost spiritual power. And that only comes through prayer and the word. I think we're right at rock bottom. And I think there are many things we need to do as Christians to affect our culture. I think there are many things that we need to do. Most importantly is evangelize and disciple people. But the most important thing is that we're men of prayer and the word. And why is the word so important? For the next 3 months, I'm going to tell you what Jesus says about his word. Each sermon on Sunday morning. First one, here's what Jesus says about his word. It's the truth. That's the first thing he says. What else does he say? Well, I want to unfold that for us. What Jesus, then on Sunday nights is going to be the entire year, pretty much, unless God intervenes providentially, is going to be the Sunday night series is going to be timeless truth for timely topics. What about the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What about the second coming? What about marriage? What about sexuality? What about just, we're going to go through the entire year. What is the timeless truth? Notice singular. Timeless truth for timely topics. And we're going to work our way. Would love if you know of things that you think the biblical world and life view needs to be addressed from this pulpit. I would love for you to send those to me. I've already started working. I got a whole list that I've started working on and working my way through. But I would love to get your input for that Sunday evening series as well. And then again, through congregational communities and small groups. Now, one thing to try to help here is we have something we would like to give to you. And then I'm going to conclude with a couple of remarks about it. Can I get the pastoral staff to help me out here? This is a gift for you to use. There are a number of us who like to make use of journals. And so this is a journal, and I want you to know it has been given to you. This is for you to use, a gift. I want to just talk to you a couple of minutes about maybe how to use it. All right? Let me get it. Everybody get one. How many of you, can I ask you a question? How many of you here already use journals? Okay, there's a number of them. Okay, you just got the one you're going to use this year. At least I'd encourage you to consider using it this year. I know you may want to finish out yours, but maybe you could take that one and put it aside and just use this one this year. You'll notice, what does it say on the front? Thy word is truth. There's our ministry theme for the year, 2015. Briarwood, 2015, thy word is truth. Now, I don't know how, I'm going to tell you how I use, there is no
sinful way. Well, there is a sinful way. There is no Briarwood way that you have to use a journal. I'm going to tell you how I use it. This is the way I use it. I start at the beginning. I go to the end. I use the journal. I start at the beginning. And when I have my quiet time, I'll journal things that come to me through my quiet time. I will also journal things that when I'm reading. For instance, I've recommended three books. Thy Word is Still Truth, Knowing Scripture, and Taking God at His Word for this year. As I've read through those things, I write things down in my journal that I am committed to, that I want to remember. I wished I could tell you. I used to be able to remember everything, but I never have been able to. I used to think I could, but I can't. Now, this is, if I can get it in here, then I got it. And part of my quiet time is actually to go back through my journal periodically. So I use it for my quiet time. I use it for a prayer request that I write down. I use it for notes and thoughts from my reading that I'm doing. I use it, now, this is unspiritual, I guess, but I use it as a pastor. I'm going to meet with Bruce. I'll write certain things down. So I use it for things like that as well. But most of all, it is a compilation of things that I am learning about God's Word, from God's Word, what God is doing through His Word, and I just keep using it that way. I highly recommend this as a habit in your life. You may like a bigger one, you may like a smaller one, you may have something like that, but this is one we want to give you and that you can start using this year. That's the way I use it. You may have your own method of using it, that's fine, but that we've got it. We're actually going to put some in the bookstore, too, so if people want to get them, to use them throughout the year as well. All right? Let me turn it over to Bruce. Thanks,
Pastor. One year for Christmas, I bought my boss as a gift the bigger version of this, like the real big journal. Huge mistake. He mentioned he writes down things for me to do in that journal. At Brookstone, I found one about this big. So I know what you're getting for your birthday. Each year we have a leadership team chairman, one of our elders that chairs our leadership team, which is made up of the elders from the commissions, the deacon representatives, and our staff. And this year it's Billy Ball, and we've asked Billy if he would come and share with y'all this morning.
Morning, everybody. Appreciate you being here this morning. I want to take just a couple of minutes, and first of all, I want to share something just really practical. I remember years ago, first time I was elected as an officer at Briarwood, that first year was a little overwhelming. I came from mainly churches that were just a little bit smaller than Briarwood. Maybe a decimal place off. The structure, the process, the meetings, the language, in the sense, the jargon, maybe different terms used here. And I'll confess to you, I spent a lot of that first year just kind of not really being that effective as a leader because I was a little intimidated by all this stuff. I didn't understand why we went through the processes we went through, why things were structured the way they are, and I was a little hesitant to say anything. And I want to encourage you, especially if you're new to the particular office you're in. Some of you may be fairly new, didn't grow up at Briarwood. I want to encourage you to ask questions. Don't do like I did that first year and let half your year go by. And you're just not exactly sure, how to plug in as a leader. So please ask me, ask Jeff, ask Tony, the diaconate, some of the other men that have been maybe an officer here for a while, because we need everybody. Harry mentioned it. We're the leadership, and we need to all be leading. We need to all be in there together. And you may look around this room and go, there are a lot of people in this room. If it takes me a little while to get going and I kind of just take my time, who will notice? There's a lot of people in this room. Well, I just want to encourage you, don't do that. Jump right in. Ask questions. Don't be timid. You're going to have a time a little bit later this morning where there's some breakout groups to kind of get this down a little bit smaller. Ask questions there. Really engage. We need you. This congregation needs you. And I just wanted to share that with you. That was just a personal thing to me. The other thing, I want to personally, and Harry already did this, I want to personally ask you to embrace this year's theme. Thy word is truth. I thought about this, and I'm so happy that I've had this opportunity this particular year, because this year's theme fits me well. It's simple. You know? It's simple. And I thought about it, and it's so foundational. So foundational. And the other thing I thought about is just how amazingly powerful it is. So I'm going to ask you, don't make it complicated. I make my life so complicated. And when I do, it just drains me. I'm going to ask you, don't make this year complicated. Don't make this year's theme complicated. Keep it simple. But I believe, and Harry mentioned this too, you know, I think without us as leaders having a personal and the whole congregation having a commitment to the truth of the Scriptures, we're going to become irrelevant. That's how foundational the Scriptures are. And I thought about this too as I was thinking about this weekend. You know, it's just so obvious if you stop and you look at history, maybe read some of the history that's in some of the books written about Briarwood, or maybe talk to Mr. Bradford, some of the men who were such a key part of that. It's amazing how God has used Briarwood in this community and really beyond. As I thought about that, he didn't do that because it was something special. I think you mentioned that, Harry. He didn't use this congregation because there was something special in any one person here. I think he did it for his own glory, just like he does everything, right? Amen? And I think when we stay focused on the truth of the Scriptures, he's going to use us. Don't know why. He's picked you to be a leader. Why has he picked me to be a leader? Wasn't because of anything I did. But I think if we stay focused this year on the truth of his word, he's going to use us. It's not complicated. That's just what we need to do. Stay focused on the truth of his Scriptures. Another thing, I'd encourage you, if you haven't been at Briarwood your whole life, or maybe if you just haven't thought about it in years, go back and read about or find some people to talk about some of the history here. You know, the history for the past 50 years, and quite honestly, as I thought about it, just the history for the last 5 years. God has moved mountains, literally, at least mountaintops. He's opened doors to places. You know, this last trip that Tom took to, I guess we can talk about that, to Cuba. Who would have thought? Wow. And I've personally been a part of this. He took what I called our good plans, was patient with us. Then he showed us his great plans. And this past Sunday, Reverend Barker challenged us all to commit a goal or two to prayer. Keep it simple. Have a goal or two, commit it to prayer. Nothing fancy, nothing complicated about it. Just pray. So here's what I'm going to be praying for you and for me. Three things. We'll read the Word. We'll believe the Word. And then we'll act on the Word. There are so many stories here. You may have been part of one of them. where members at Briarwood have been confronted by the truth of the Scripture on a particular topic. They've prayed about it, and then they've just acted in a way with consistency of what they read. They just acted on it. And great things happened for God's glory. Just simple men, simple women, just like me, reading God's Word, praying, and acting on His revealed truth. So, as leaders, that's what I'm asking you to do. Keep it simple. The truth is an amazingly powerful thing. And I'm looking forward this year to being with you and just seeing how God is going to use this congregation, this group of men, to do amazing things in this city and really around the world, as Harry was talking about. So I just want to say thank you. If I can help you this year, please don't hesitate to ask. We are blessed. And I just think it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. So thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Billy. Gentlemen, why don't y'all stand up for just about 18 seconds. Okay, get out your notebook. If you have your notebook with you, your packet of information, get that out. I want to make sure that we familiarize ourselves with that. The very first part, Pastor Reeder has already covered for the Briarwood Mission. If you look at the next tab, it's got the contact information. What I need you to do on the contact information is to look at your information. In other words, you'll have the list of elders there, and then guys that will have your home, business, and cell phone, then a list of the deacons and the class that you're in, and then once again a list of those phone numbers, email address, etc. And gentlemen, what I need you to do is to check and to make sure that we have your best email address and your best phone numbers. If something's not right there, what I would like for you to do is to email Amy Latner and let her know. Just mark it on that. Email Amy and let her know that needs to be changed. That's very important because, you know, we're going to send out notifications. We're going to send out information. And when we do, we send that to 250 people. We won't catch for 6 months that we don't have your right email address. We'll have no way of knowing because you don't need to reply back to that. And you'll be wondering, how come I don't ever get any information? Well, we don't have your right email address. So please give us the accurate contact information. She'll take all those changes and then she'll actually email that back out to y'all so that you have an up-to-date and accurate information. So once again, just make the adjustments and email Amy. A. Latner, A-L-A-T-T-N-E-R, A. Latner at Briarwood.org. Is it up there? Outstanding. Or you can do officers at Briarwood.org. A. Latner at Briarwood.org or officers at Briarwood.org. If you do B. Stallings at Briarwood.org, that's a black hole. Do not send any information there. If you want to get it to happen, you send it to one of those two addresses right there. We're not sure why all those emails get lost, but somehow they do. Secondly, if you'll go to the Commissions and Committees tab, under the Commissions and Committees tab, we have a pretty well-developed structure of how we make decisions, and different people serve on different committee assignments, different commission assignments. The first part of that tab, on both of them, you'll see the sessional committees. And so you have the leadership team committee, and that's the traffic cop in a sense. That's how things get to the agenda of the session. And so that's our elder chairman and vice chairman, and then the heads of the chairman of each of our three commissions, and then our diaconate chairman, vice chairman, and mercy team chairman, Pastor Reeder, Matt Moore, and myself all serve on the leadership team committee. And we meet a week before each of the session meetings and then send out the agenda to you elders for that meeting on Thursday prior to the next Tuesday session meeting. Below that, you'll see the different commission assignments, the different people that are on commissions. The board-directed commission has the directors and then the chairman or vice chairman of those different board-directed ministries. The ministry team commission is one of our larger commissions because it has the elder liaisons, two liaisons for each of those different diaconal committees, as well as the representatives for our ministry team. And then on the next page, you see our shepherding team commission. So, guys, you should already know your assignments. But in case you don't, then you'll need to know those in a few minutes when we break up. We will break up by these commissions. So, gentlemen, if you are assigned to one of those commissions, then you'll go to that commission meeting when we break up here shortly. Behind the different elder commission are the diaconate committee assignments. So, gentlemen, if you're a deacon and you do not know your assignment, then you can see it here under this tab. Also, you'll see for the guys who serve on these diaconate committees, guys, there's a meeting room and place. Time and place, I mean, and the dates of those meetings. So you'll want to make sure you find your committee. As the deacons break up, they'll go to meet. Y'all are going to all meet together, and then you're going to break out into your different committee assignments. So, gentlemen, you'll want to take note of what committee you're going to be serving on this year, and y'all will meet together for the first time today. Not to do business, but just to meet together and get your heads together. All those assignments are listed. Excuse me, are listed there for you. Excuse me. All right, then you go to the leadership team charter. Both the elders and the deacons have this in their book. And, gentlemen, these are the charters of the leadership team of the different commissions. One of the things that's very important to understand, and this is something that I get asked about every once in a while, or I hear somebody kind of just stumble upon in their statement, they say, well, a commission can act on behalf of the session. That's too broad a statement. A commission can act on behalf of the session for what they're commissioned to do. In other words, a commission can't meet, come up with an idea, and just act because everybody in that commission just thought it was a great idea. A commission has a charter. And so they have been given a set of instructions and parameters around which they can function. And so a commission can act and function within their charter. So if you're on one of those commissions, I would certainly encourage you to read your charter of the commission that you're on, but I'd also encourage you to read the others, just so you have an understanding of how that works and the responsibilities that are handed off and how we break those responsibilities, down. If you would, let's see, would everybody flip to the second page? It's actually, mine has page 3, and at the top it says Ministry Team Commission. It says Charter, and I want to read to you the authority, little paragraph that's at the bottom. This is important for everybody know and understand about our system. As a commission of the session, the MTC, that's the Ministry Team Commission in this case, it'd be the same for the others, is authorized to deliberate upon and conclude matters related to the conduct of ministry teams and diaconate committees within the ministry plans and annual budget last approved by the session for such ministries and committees, and to deliberate and recommend to the section actions on matters outside the ministry plans and annual budget for these. In other words, there is the accountability, there is the charter, the parameter for that commission, and then I'll let you go ahead and read the different charters for the other ones. The next tab is the staff organizational chart, and we put this in there for you because I realize that we have a large staff, and it can be hard to figure out who does what, who does the different types of roles and functions. So the titles are listed there for you and who they report to. That's not all of our staff, but that's kind of the first couple of layers of our staff, and we wanted you to have that. Obviously, if you ever have any questions, do not hesitate to call. Do not hesitate to ask. As Billy said, don't sit around and just try to figure out it on your own. Just shoot an email, ask a question, and we'll get that information to you. Okay? Then in the next tab on the deacon's notebook, elders, y'all hold on for just a second. On the deacon's notebook, you have a tab that says Diaconate Committee Structure. Committee structure, and this goes through the purpose of the diaconate and how what the charter is. And then, guys, if you'll look as you flip through that, you'll see each of the committees listed, and you'll see what the composition, what the purpose, and what the function are of those committees. Once again, you'd want to know what yours is, the one that you're serving under, but you'd also want to know the others so that you can understand what is the difference between the budget committee and the finance committee. It's all money. So what's the difference between what the two of those committees do? And so you can understand who it is that you need to talk to, who you need to interact with. In the diaconate notebook on the next tab are the Lord's Day assignments. So, gentlemen, you have a chart. It's got color on it. It's broken down for you, all the different Lord's Day assignments. I do believe that one of the cardinal sins of being a deacon is to not show up for your Lord's Day assignment, okay? So, what I would encourage you to do, and there's going to be a few things you're going to need to do, deacons and elders together, there's a few things you're going to need to do. You're going to need to spend 15 or 20 minutes, depending on your use of technology and ability to do that, with your calendar. Because you need to go ahead and put in your Lord's Day assignments and your committee assignments and your commission assignments and when we're having communion. Guys, today, tomorrow, if you're like me, and you pray that you're not, but if you're like me, if you don't do it today or tomorrow, it's not going to happen until you show up to church and some guy's sitting there going, dude, man, I had to cover your lobby. And you're going to go, huh? Oh, I wasn't assigned to today. Well, 200 people know that you are. Okay, so been there. I've seen them try to defend it. It's right here in yellow, red, black, white, gray, purple, green. You're busted. Okay, spend 15, 20 minutes. Get this information. Put it in your calendar. Give yourself a reminder so that you'll be able to be where you need to be. Okay, so your Lord's Day assignments, and then behind that assignment sheet is the information, the explanation, information of what you need to do. I would reiterate again Billy Ball's recommendation. Guys, look through this information, ask questions. Don't wait till you get there. Ask questions. The guys that have done it, there are many guys that have done this, participated, the chairman of that committee, et cetera, they would much rather answer your question today than to undo what you didn't know to do later on, okay? It's a simple question. Today, okay? Then behind on the diaconate notebook, the next tab is the mercy tab, and this is a breakdown for the assignments, for the mercy deacon assignments, what a community that you're assigned to, and you'll want to know that so that you can fulfill those responsibilities. And then what is that job? And once again, there's a mercy inreach job description behind that tab. You'll want to take and look at it, ask questions if you need to, work with your staff person as well. All of our congregational communities are assigned a community pastor. So we give one of our staff to each of those congregational communities. And then for about five of those communities, there's another staff person that oversees those five people. So for those in-reach deacons, guys, y'all work in concert with them today, this week, especially definitely this month. Go ahead and touch base with them. I'm your in-reach deacon. Get on the same page so that you'll know how to handle that. Okay, deacons, y'all hold on for a second. Elders, if you'll look, we got all the way to the, we're now to the session operational guidelines. Okay, this is new. Now, the whole document's not new, but it was altered this last year. Okay, that we altered the quorum requirement this last year. Therefore, all of y'all got a new packet. So if you're a new elder and you just picked up a notebook, you're fine. Don't worry about it. Just don't go get your old session operational guideline. If you are an elder who's been serving, gentlemen, make sure this replaces what is in your existing notebook, okay? So this is your new session operational guidelines down at the bottom, updated May of 2014, and you'll want to make sure that you are using that. But this is how we function together as a session. This is how we go about our business and the explanation and the breakout. It's very helpful. Very helpful for you to do. I would call your attention to the eighth page that's in that session operational guidelines because it addresses how we respond to sessional decisions. How is it that we respond to sessional decisions? And this is very helpful for us to understand because oftentimes you go into a session meeting, a diaconate meeting, a committee meeting, et cetera, and a vote is taken, and you lose the vote. Your particular opinion, your position, you lost the vote. But we're going to recognize once the session handles that decision, then what we're going to recognize and we're going to respond is that we're going to recognize that that decision would be the will of God. That does not mean that our session is inerrant. It does not mean that our session is infallible. They can't make mistakes. What it's speaking to is how we respond to that decision. One of our staff and I met with an elder from another church this last week, and he made this bold statement to us in frustration that one of the elders had communicated to him. He's not an elder. He's a member of the church. Had communicated to him that the church should receive the decisions of the session as the will of God. And that flew all over him. He thought that was the craziest thing that he could possibly understand. And we had to take some time to go through and to say, that's how we respond. That's why we don't have one elder. That's how we respond to the decisions of the session. And we respond to them as that's God speaking to us. They could be wrong. We are called to submit to that wrong. If they're wrong as it relates to God's word, then we certainly have ways that we can deal with that. But it speaks to how we respond to that. So you'll want to read through that. I would encourage you to do that before we meet in a couple of weeks. Let's see. The next tab in the session notebook is the shepherding tab. And we're going to spend some time later this morning going through the shepherding challenge for us here at Briarwood, the opportunity that we have. But I would call your attention to this tab because it has the plan, the shepherding plan. How do you shepherd this large number of people that the Lord has placed here? It also has elders, your elder community shepherding assignment. I would assume that you already know these, but if in case you don't, then there's your shepherding assignment for 2015. For both notebooks, then, we have put a calendar tab into your notebook. Once again, this is part of what you would spend time today or tomorrow putting into your calendar. When are the session meeting dates? When are the deacon meeting dates? The different commissions are listed there for you. Also, on the back of that page, you'll see the communion dates, the Evangel Presbytery dates, and General Assembly dates. You'll want to put those in your calendar, whether you participate in those or just want to commit them, commit those to prayer. And elders, I would encourage you to go ahead and prioritize these dates if you can in terms of serving communion. Okay? Also on the calendar, if you go ahead and do your schedule and you look and you go, I'm going to be in St. Louis during that week, if you'll email Amy Latner, let her know that. That'll be an excused absence, whether it's a session or a deacon meeting. That'll be an excused absence, but we would ask that you always notify us when you're not going to be there, because our role basically has you're present, you have an excused absent, or you're absent without excuse. You don't want to end up in that category. Man, there's people in this room, they will hunt you down. I mean, it's an awkward, terrible, I'm kidding. But I want you to think they will, just so you'll let us know when you're not going to be there. Okay, the next tab is the policies tab, and I encourage you to go ahead and flip and look at that. Under the policies tab, there is a certificate of compliance. Okay, it's a form. Not everybody has to fill this out, but you've been elected an officer of Briarwood Presbyterian Church. And up until this point, let's say you haven't been an officer, and for whatever reason, your company services our computers. Your company services our copy machines, whatever it may be. You now need to acknowledge that you work for a company, that your business does business with Briarwood. Doesn't mean you have to quit being an officer, and it doesn't mean you have to lose your job. It just means you have to acknowledge that on the front side. So this is a certificate of compliance, and I would encourage you, if you do business with the church, to walk your way through that. Once again, if you don't worry about it. Don't worry about this form at all. If you have a question about this, ask Matt Moore. If you're not sure and you have a question and you wonder if it rises to the level of needing to fill out this form, then just ask Matt, and he'll walk you through that. In that, you'll see the conflict of interest policy that's directly behind that. That should give you some helpful information about potential conflict of interest. Then the next back part of that tab, you have the privacy policy of our church. And this is something I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with. We treat your information, and we treat the information of our congregation very carefully. We don't give out our directory. We don't sell or give to people our directory, nor do we, for just any reason that a member might want to do, call it a political campaign as a hypothetical suggestion that only happens 87 times. Call it something like that. We don't give out that information for that, okay? So you'll want to familiarize yourself It wouldn't surprise me if your Sunday school class came up with a great idea and they said, well, I think the whole church ought to know about this. And now all of a sudden there's a violation of the privacy policy. So this very well, you might think, I don't think that's ever, I'm never going to need that. Read it. It'll keep you and it'll keep your particular ministry and your group out of trouble. The parliamentary procedures are listed there for you under the next tab. This is something we stumbled upon a few years ago. Obviously, this is not Robert's Rules of Order. That's what we use to operate in an orderly fashion. But this is a Reader's Digest, Reader's Digest, Reader's Digest version. We might call this the Billy Ball Keep It Simple version. And so this is something that is very well laid out. It would be very helpful for you to look at this and to understand. So how do we do business? I want to make a motion, or I want to make a substitute motion, or I want to vote against the motion. I'm against this thing. What do I do? One, I would encourage you to familiarize yourself with this. Secondly, I would say ask questions prior to the meeting. You don't want to get stuck. You know, you're there in a meeting. You're trying to figure out what it is that you're supposed to do. So ask questions prior to the meeting. The session has a parliamentarian, and that's Glenn Waddell. And so as being the parliamentarian, that means he can answer absolutely any question you have about all of Robert's Rules of Order, every version. Okay? And so call Glenn, ask Glenn. He obviously, I don't know that anybody can do that except Robert, but I would suggest that you ask him beforehand what it is that you're trying to do. And then, of course, the moderator of the diaconate meeting or the session meeting is always there to help you as well. Gentlemen, there's never a reason, a purpose, there's never an intent to keep somebody from doing it. Usually what we run into is somebody wants to do something, but they're not real sure how to do what they want to do, and we get stuck because you just can't do it. You're in the middle of the meeting, and you just missed that opportunity. So ask the questions beforehand, and we'll get it and lay it out. But this is, we found this to be extremely helpful. If you were in the Deacon's Notebook, you then have a security tab, and I'm not going to go through the whole security section. That's something that the deacons, when y'all get together, you're going to have an opportunity to walk your way through. But I would encourage you, would everybody take your name tag off for just a second and look at the back of your name tag. This is how we go about our emergency plans, how we function in terms of responding to our emergency plans. Now, as soon as I say, if you'll take your name tag off and look at the back of it, gentlemen, there are a lot of reasons to wear your name tag. I oftentimes talk to other churches and they ask, I heard Briarwood does name tags. I mean, should we do that? And I'm absolutely. Start when you have four members of your church, wear name tags. And don't ever not wear name tags because it's incredibly helpful and beneficial. But one of the reasons that we want you to wear your name tag is because your name tag in the top left-hand corner would say that you're a deacon, that you're an elder, that you're on staff, okay? We want people to see that because they're walking around here, and gentlemen, I don't know how long you've been at Briarwood, but every once in a while as I invite people to Briarwood and friends, I don't know why I don't do a better job of this, but I realize they're lost. I mean, oftentimes I'll see people in the foyer after church, they don't know where they parked. This is a big place. And some very nice, kind person showed them to a Sunday school class and then the nursery and then back to the worship center. And they're going, I got no clue where my car was. You could see a flagpole from there. And I'm like, well, we don't have a flagpole. So I don't know where. I have no idea where you are. So I'm just telling you, be very careful with that. So we want them to look and go, okay, that guy could ask my question. That's not a reason not to wear your name tag so people don't ask you questions. All right. The other reason is this. On the back, under sanctuary codes, when you're sitting in the worship center, up in the choir loft, there is a little box, and it's got red numbers on it. Those numbers will pop up. Those are our sanctuary codes. Under sanctuary codes, the first one is 55, okay? We pray about a lot of things. One of the things we pray about is we don't ever want to have to put 55 up on that. That means that there is an emergency, okay? If you look up and you see 55 on those red numbers, that immediately says we have some kind of emergency and we need the help of the officers to handle this emergency. What you do, and I think this is one of the hardest things if we ever have to do this, what you do, gentlemen, when you see 55 is you get up and leave. Now, where do I go? Well, it depends on what your last name starts with. Okay? So if you'll look, if your last name starts with an A, you're going to assist in the sanctuary evacuation. B, you go to the duty deacon in the foyer. C through I, you go to the nursery. J through M, you go to the Bill Price lobby. N through R, you go to the school lobby. And S through Z, you go to the chapel fellowship hall. You will not know what the problem is unless you can smell smoke. You will not know, guys. You'll see the code go up. Pastor Reeder will not see it. He'll just see every officer leave. That either means heresy or we got a problem in the church, okay? So we've either called a meeting on the other end of the church immediately or we got a problem. You just get up and go. Elders, when you get, if my name, if it tells me to come right down here to this area right here, I go as an elder, as a staff person, I'm going to go to that area right there, and there's a deacon that has been trained, and he is going to immediately tell me what to do. And I'm going to listen to what he says and make it happen that fast. While you're already left, we're going to come to the podium, interrupt the pastor, and then explain to everybody what the problem is. Okay? If we go to the podium and explain to everybody that there's a fire, we're going to tell them, do not go get your children. Our elders, our deacons are already getting your children out right now. Do not go to your children. I do not want to be in between those two assignments. But we're going to make the announcement and do the best that we can. But we need to know, if you want to find your children, go outside. We've taken your children out to the parking lot. So my biggest hesitation is not the training of the deacons. That's done excellently. My biggest hesitation is that we'll see 55 and we'll just sit there. And we'll wait and go, honey, something's up. He's still preaching. That's going to happen, okay? So you see it, you know where you need to go, then you take off, all right? 000s show up there. That means we need a doctor. And if you will simply just get up, if you are a physician, if you'll get up and come to the foyer, just get up, make your... Y'all do a great job of this, by the way. Fantastic. I want to get sick here. This is the best place, other than maybe the hospital, to get sick. Y'all do a phenomenal job. But if you'll just come to the foyer, if it's not in the foyer, we'll get you to where you need to be. So if y'all, once again, y'all do an outstanding job of that. 99, there's a counselor that's needed. And so once again, just come to the foyer if you are a trained counselor. 888 is ushers needed. I'll tell you what, with the tremendous leadership we've had this last year, in our developing our usher ministry and just the faithfulness of people to respond and to participate. 888 is almost becoming a code you don't see as much. Used to, I thought 888 was the default. I just thought when you turned it on, it went to 888. No, that just meant we really did need ushers. But if you do happen to see it, go to the foyer. Can I help out, et cetera? Usually, if we respond pretty quickly to that, gentlemen, that'll disappear fast. So you'll be walking into the worship center. You'll look up and see 888. Just go back there and check. Usually it's just a handful of people that are needed, and we'll take care of it. Down at the bottom, you have two phone numbers. One is the Paramedics Fire Department, 822-6000. I'd also encourage you to put that in your phone. That's Rocky Ridge Fire Department. That's quicker for us than 911. If you can't remember it, dial 911, okay? If there is any type of a medical emergency, dial 911. If you can't remember 822-6000, fine. If Rocky Ridge tells us, hey, 400 people called us, then we'll just say, praise the Lord, okay? We need to get the professionals on our campus, and they're phenomenal. We are so blessed. We need to get the professionals on our campus. That's why we give you that number. You have your name tag on, you've always got it right there. And then the last number on there is the custodial cell. You have an issue, and this is not uncommon. Somebody spills something, you need something, something breaks, whatever it be. You can pick up on Sunday morning, and you can use that number to call that. Okay. Once again, the deacons are going excuse me, they're going to go through training, et cetera. The rest of us just need to be prepared, in which case that actually happens, and just learn to look up there to the top and see your numbers. Any questions about that? Who carries the black box? It's actually in the nursery, and so they make that call. Matter of fact, one year, I can't remember the event. It was something like a big concert or something, and 25 went up. And I saw all the officers. And it was like, and you're kind of, is that a 55? That's a 25. And I thought, and I looked at it and I went, usually there's like four numbers. I said, there's a problem. And I ended up with 2-year-olds in the nursery. So we asked them, don't ever use 25 again. Come up with something else. Do not use anything related to 55, because that ruined my night. Okay? That and working with two-year-olds. The last tab that you should have is minutes. And gentlemen, that's why we put all this in a notebook and don't just say, here's the information. We put this in a notebook so when you get packets, when you get minutes of your meetings, et cetera, you can go ahead and build your notebook. You might not think about that, but you're going to want that. You're going to be getting through the session, the acronym, and you're going to want to look back and see something in terms of the minutes of the meeting, et cetera. But that'll help you keep everything together. Okay? All right, gentlemen, we are going to take a break. And there's some snacks out in the hallway out here. At the conclusion of the break, which is 3 minutes till 10, because it'll take you that long to get to your room, we're going to start these meetings at 10 o'clock. All of the deacons, yes, what if your name is not on a committee or assigned anywhere? I'm going to tell you that in just a second. If you're an elder and you're not on a commission, all right, I'll address that in just a second. All the deacons are going to go to Fellowship Hall A at 10 o'clock, okay? Deacons, y'all are straight across the hall right here in Fellowship Hall A at 10 o'clock. If your name is not on a commission, if you're an elder and you do not have a commission assignment, come into the chapel, okay? You do have shepherding assignments, but you might not have a commission assignment. Then you come to the chapel. Pastor Reeder is going to speak to you. Ministry team commission. If you're an elder, staff assigned to the ministry team commission, you're in Fellowship Hall B. If you're on the board directed ministry team commission, you're in Fellowship Hall C. The shepherding team commission, Fellowship Hall D, okay? Those begin at 10 o'clock, and gentlemen, you are dismissed.